equation and see the cell. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. We seek Allah's protection from the evil of ourselves and from our bad deeds. من يهده الله فلا مضل له. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one who can lead him astray. ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. Whoever he allows to go astray, there is no one who can give him guidance. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship other than Allah, alone and without partners. أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. And I bear witness that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم is his servant and his messenger. And بعد. The last time we met, we stopped on verse 3, وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَّقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. We saw some of the implications of Salah and its importance in the life of the believer, and we saw that it was described by Allah in His book as Iman, faith, showing how important it is to faith and its development. And we also discussed the importance of performing it correctly. Otherwise, the person may perform Salah for 40 years, 45 years, and receive no reward for it. So a believer has to be careful that his Salah is performed properly and that he receives some reward for it. This particular verse goes on and it speaks about وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And what we have provided them with, they spend out of them. This particular verse shows that whatever we have is from Allah. Whatever wealth we have, it is from Allah, and with Allah's blessing that we have. We make the effort, but Allah blesses us to receive it. And this is the nature of the believer's understanding of tawakkul, or depending on Allah. He has it in his heart and his mind that whatever good Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The wealth that we have is Allah's wealth. He gives it to us, and He will test us in giving us His wealth. This is why we find that the companions, like Ibn Abbas, when he spoke about spending, he said this particular verse here refers to zakat, that which is compulsory. According to Al-Dahaq, he said what is meant here is everything that you can spend in trying or making an effort to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether in circumstances of ease and difficulty, or according to a person's ease, or if he's wealthy, according to what Allah has blessed him with wealth. So it refers then to all types of spending, that which is compulsory first of all, and then that which is optional. And we know in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a hadith Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advises us to spend, son of Adam, and I shall spend on you. The spending is fi sabilillah. He should be allowed on oneself, one's family, the poor, those near relatives. That, hoping to receive Allah's reward, all of those things are feasible. Ibn Kathir, he goes on and he speaks about as-salah, the word salah in the language of the Arabs. And he said that this word actually means dua. As-salah means, in the language of the Arabs, dua. But it has been used to mean also the performance of the qiyam, the rukur, and that whole performance of salah as we know it as believers. When we come five times a day to stand before Allah, that is also salah. So basically then salah has, as we know it, those two meanings. The legal meaning as we know it, and the meaning from the linguistic perspective, that is dua. And for this reason, there is a problem sometimes when you look at the word And for instance, when Allah's Messenger said, if any of you is invited to a feast, a walima, if he is fasting, falyusalli, and he should yusalli. Salli here can mean either make a supplication for the people, or it can mean make salah. In other words, betake yourself to some quarter in the house and make salah. Okay, وَإِنْ كَانَ مُفْتِرًا فَيَطْعَمْ. And if he is not fasting, then let him join in and eat, partake of the food. So sometimes when you look at a particular word, and this is very often in the language Arab, in the Arabic, that you have one word that has a number of meanings. Okay? Like the word Ayn. It can mean a river, it can mean gold, it can mean the one in your head, and other things. Alright? So that is very common in Arabic. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. Those who believe in what has been revealed to you, and what has been revealed before you, and in respect to the life to come, they have certainty. They believe without any doubt in al-akhirah. And that includes everything about the life to come. The fact that we will be raised up, that we will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we will have to give an account, the sirat, everything of the unseen in the life to come. To believe in those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us to believe in them, and to have no doubt about it. According to Ibn Abbas, he says, those who believe in what has been revealed to you and what has been revealed before them, that they believe in everything that the Prophet ﷺ came with from Allah, and also they believe in what was given to the Prophets before them and make no distinctions between them, and they do not disregard or disbelieve in what has come to them from their Lord. He says, the statement of Allah, وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُقِنُونَ, and in the life to come they are certain. He says, this refers to resurrection, يوم القيامة, the day of standing up, the paradise, the fire, the reckoning, and the scales that will be weighed. It is called آخِرَةِ, actually means something that comes after, simply because it is after this dunya, this life. And so this is why it is known as Akhirah. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about those who believe in what has been revealed to you and what has been revealed before. This refers to who? There are three opinions that we find the scholars of tafsir having on this particular point. One is that this particular sentence here, this verse, refers to those who went before. Those who were described as having taqwa and believing in the unseen, this here also refers to them. The second opinion is that this verse, those who believe in what has been revealed to you and what has been revealed before you, refers to the Christians who were once believers in their prophets. And after that time, once the Prophet ﷺ's message was presented to them, they also believed in that as well. Okay? The third position is that this particular verse refers to anyone who comes into the deen. Period. Alright? However, the Prophet ﷺ, according to Abi Musa al-Ash'ari, he said, three people shall be given their rewards twice or twofold. A man from among the people of the book, that is a Jew or a Christian, who believes in his Prophet and then believes in me. He shall be given his reward twofold. The other person who was a captive, and he discharged the right of Allah and the right of those who were over him. And a man who had a girl under his care. And he gave her or taught her good manners, freed her, and then married her. This particular narration is to be found in both Bukhari and Muslim. Here, this particular verse then speaks about how we as believers are supposed to believe, not only in our prophets, but we believe in all of the prophets that came before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of them. Those that are mentioned in the Quran, we believe in them. To disbelieve in any one of them is to just become a disbeliever and to come outside of the fold of Islam. However, we know that their book has been changed. Things have been added. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this in his book, that they used to change it after understanding the message and believing that it was from Allah, they changed it. For this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, if the people of the book speak to you, if they narrate to you something from their book, do not say that they're lying and do not believe them. Why? Because if you say that they're lying, that may be something in the book that has remained of the truth. And you can't believe them because so much has been changed in their book. So you just, you know, we believe in what has been revealed to us and that which has been revealed before us. لَا تُصَدِّقُهُمْ وَلَا تُكَذِّبُهُمْ. But you cannot base your life on it. And for this reason we find on the authority of Jabir ibn Abdullah, that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, أَتَى رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِنُسْخَةٍ مِنَ التَّوْرَةِ. That he came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Messenger of Allah, with a copy of the Torah. فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, he said, O Messenger of Allah, this is a copy of the Torah. فَسَكَتَ. He said, O Messenger of Allah, this is a copy of the Torah. And the Prophet kept quiet. So Umar started to read from it. Umar was one of those companions who was learned and he was able to write and he could, you know, he was of those who were able to do that. So he started to recite the Torah. And the Prophet ﷺ's face started to change. And this was very common of him. When he was upset, his face would change. And the companions would notice it. The same thing like when he was extremely happy. So Abu Bakr said to Umar, تَقِي لَكَ السَّوَاكِرِ. You know, may you be bewailed or your parents be bewailed for you. One of those things. He says, مَا تُرَى مَا بِوَجْهِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Don't you see what is in the face of the Messenger of Allah? Umar then turned his gaze towards the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, I seek protection with Allah from Allah's anger and the anger of his Messenger. رَدِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ رَسُولًا. I believe in Allah as my Lord and Islam as my Deen and Muhammad is my Messenger. When he said this, the Prophet ﷺ says, by him in whose hand is the soul of Muhammad. لَوْ بَدَى لَكُمْ مُوسَى فَاتَّبَعْتُمُوهُ. If Musa was to appear, Moses, عليه السلام, he was to appear before you, and you were to follow him, وَتَرَكْتُمُونِي لَضَلَلْتُمْ عَنْ سَوَاءِ السَّبِيلِ. If Musa showed himself, and you were to follow him and to leave me alone, you would be led astray from the straight path. He says, وَلَوْ كَانَ حَيًّا. And if Musa, عليه السلام, Moses was alive, وَأَدْرَكَ النَّبُوَّةِ, and he was here doing my prophethood, he would have followed me, لَتَّبَعَنِي. He would have followed. So for us then, we believe in what has gone before us. However, that book or those books are not books of guidance for us. We don't open the King James Version trying to find out how we should conduct ourselves. We don't go to the Torah trying to find out, you know, brother, how do we conduct our business affairs and our family lives? We don't do that. For the believer, this book, the Quran, has been revealed as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us, and we have revealed to you the book as a proof and a testimony to what has gone before, وَمُحَيْمِنًا عَلَيْهِ, and above it as a judge. Those books, it is a judge and a source of proof for those books that went before. So for us, we don't turn to those books for guidance, we turn to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. Here, then, to believe is in those prophets that came before us. This is something that we believe generally. The specifics found in their books, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pointed out in Sahih al-Bukhari, when he said, إِذَا حَدَّثَكُمْ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ فَلَا تُكَذِّبُوهُمْ وَلَا تُصَدِّقُوهُمْ. If the people of the book narrate to you something, do not say that they lie, and do not believe them. But rather say, آمَنَّا بِالَّذِي أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا وَأُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ. We believe in what has been revealed to us and that which has been revealed to you. That is generally. Those people, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said every prophet was sent to his people. As for me, I was sent to the whole of humanity. Every messenger was sent to his people, but I was sent to the whole of humanity. So this verse then deals and it shows us that we cannot, if we truly believe in Islam, we cannot deny the fact that messengers came before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We believe specifically in those that are mentioned in the book, and generally those that we find in the other books. You know, alhamdulillah, Allah has sent many prophets. Okay? As he mentions in the Quran, there are messengers that we have mentioned in the book and messengers that have not been mentioned. So there are many of them. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Those people who have all of those qualities, those people who believe in the unseen, the promise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us of the life to come, the fire and the hell, that you will have to give an account, that you will die and be raised up. Those who establish prayer, those who spend out of what we have given them, these people who believe in what has been revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Quran, all of it. To disbelieve in any part of the Quran is to become a disbeliever. Even if you pray every prayer on time, and if you say, I believe a billion times a day. To disbelieve in any part of this book is to become a kafir. Those who believe then in what has been revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and what has been revealed before him, generally. Allah says, these people are on guidance from their Lord, and these are the ones who shall be successful. All of what has gone before is a condition then for success. The salah that you pray, that you spend out of what Allah has given. And that, first of all, anytime we deal with verses like this one, the first thing that we think about is what Allah has made compulsory. And then the extra acts of worship. The person who gets up all through the night and doesn't perform his compulsory prayers, he's in trouble. The person who gets up through the night and he prays all through the night, and he deliberately leaves off his compulsory prayer, he comes under the warning that we find in the hadith
that a alliance between us and those who believe, this is the Prophet speaking, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is salah. Whoever gives it up has disbelieved and has committed shirk. Even if you pray every night, all night, if you give up deliberately a compulsory prayer, this warning comes and faces you. Salah then is very important. Those are the ones who are on guidance from their Lord, and those are the ones who are successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on and he now speaks about those who disbelieve. After speaking about the believers and those who are successful and the qualities that we need to acquire to be successful and that we have no doubt about the life to come, that we shall die and we will be raised up and have to give an account for the things that we used to do, that understanding, that realization is what causes a believer to be active in this life towards Allah. To keep to his limits and to stay away from what he forbids. If we understand that death is certain to every brother and to every sister, and that it has been decreed by Allah, and that if you live 100 years, you will die. If we understand that, then we will be questioned in the grave by 2 angels. And that the only people who will be able to answer are those who were truthful in this life, not the pretenders. There will be people who used to stand on the prayer line. There will be people who grew up as believers, as Muslims. When it comes time to answer the angels in the grave, they will say, I saw the people saying such and such. Because it was traditional and it had no effect on their hearts. For these people, that is the beginning of a terrible awakening. That is the beginning of a terrible awakening. As the Prophet down and scratched the ground and looked up, and he told his companions, seek refuge, seek protection with Allah from the punishment of the grave. تَعَوَّدُوا بِاللَّهِ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ تَعَوَّذُوا بِاللَّهِ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ. And then he gave the scenario of what happens to the person who truly believes. And what happens to the person who disbelieves. And so one of the companions used to come and he used to weep and he used to say, this is the beginning of the grave. If you pass this, then what is to come might be easy. But if you fail here, if you find yourself being punished here, then what is to come is even worse. And so, the reality then, if a person has no doubt about this, then he tries to work to please Allah and do the things that will protect him when he's in the grave. As for those who believe, that is their affair. Allah now speaks about a different set of people. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, those who disbelieve, سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ فَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. There are some people, those who disbelieve, whether you warn them or do not warn them, they shall not believe. There are some people, Ibn Kathir mentions, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفُرُوا, these who conceal the truth, cover it up. Those who conceal and cover up the truth. In other words, it has been presented to them. And they understand what it is. The message was clear to them. But they chose on their own to follow misguidance. For these people, they have a rude awakening when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them to account. Ibn Abbas, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he spoke about this verse, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very concerned, hoping that every person, every human being would believe and follow him in guidance. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that no one shall believe except those for whom belief has been written down. لا يؤمن إلا من سبق له من الله سعادة في الذكر الأول. It has been written down in Lawh al-Mahfuz that this person shall believe and die in a state of belief. He says that no one shall receive misguidance except those of whom the wretched path has been written down before, في ذكر الأول, meaning in Lawh al-Mahfuz, in the protected tablet. A similar thing was said like this to the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said, Ya Rasulullah, it has been written down in Lawh al-Mahfuz that this person shall believe and die in a state of belief. He says that no one shall receive misguidance except those of whom the wretched path has been written down before, في ذكر الأول, meaning in Lawh al-Mahfuz, in the protected tablets. A similar thing was said like this to the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said, Ya Rasulullah, if this is the case, then why don't we depend on what has been decreed? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, work. Work and make effort. Because Allah will make easy for you a path to paradise if you were to be of the people of paradise. So if we find righteousness easy, then we should try to increase in it. But if we find ourselves being happy and disobeying Allah, then that is cause for grave concern. Inshallah, in a few moments you will see the attitude of some of the companions and those that went before us. They weren't like us in the way we look at faith and the way we look at life and death. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, in His perfect knowledge, has written down things. We work, but Allah's knowledge is there. We choose what is right and we choose what is wrong. We decide whether we want to do what is right or we want to do what is wrong. When it comes to getting up to prayer, we make the decision. We don't want to get up. Or we make the decision, it is time to obey Allah, let us do it. We decide, we make that choice. And Allah allows us to do that. And so we will be punished for those choices that we make. But Allah knew it all. ختم الله على قلوبهم وعلى سمعهم وعلى أبصارهم غشاوة ولهم عذاب عظيم. Those people Allah has placed a seal over their hearts and over their hearing. Now this is as a result of them choosing disbelief. As a result of them choosing disbelief. And this is a principle throughout the Quran. Anytime you do something evil, evil consequences lead to evil. Evil deeds lead to evil. Good deeds lead to good consequences and good things. Don't you see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, truthfulness leads to righteousness. And righteousness leads to paradise. And a man continues to speak the truth until he is written down with Allah as a truthful person. Lies lead to evil deeds. And evil deeds lead to the hellfire. And a person continues to tell lies until he's written down with Allah as a liar. Good leads to good consequences. and evil lead to evil consequences. And so these people who have chosen disbelief, it is like a rippling effect. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says elsewhere in the Quran, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. When they themselves chose deviant and deviated, Allah allowed them to do it. As for those who seek guidance, Allah says, we increase them in guidance. And so when a person then tries to do what is good, it produces positive results. It causes Allah's barakah, His blessings to come down in His tawfiq. When a person deliberately disobeys Allah, it causes the opposite, and a person is taken farther away from Allah. And this is why we find in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that a person continues to draw near to Allah with compulsory acts of worship. A person that are closer to me with anything other than or better than what I have made compulsory for. And then he continues to draw closer to me with extra acts of worship. This closeness to Allah is positive, it is good. And so those acts of obedience produced it with Allah, and Allah then, he says, حَتَّى أُحِبَّ, until I love this person. As for the person who does the opposite happens. Abu Huraira mentioned from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, a believer when he sins, a black spot is on his heart. And if he repents and desists and stops what he's doing, turns to Allah, his heart once again becomes polished. And if he increases in his sin and evil, his darkness continues to cover his heart. He says, فَذَلِكَ الرَّانِ, this is the dust, الَّذِي قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, that Allah speaks about in His book, بَلْ كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Their hearts have become rusted, darkened, because of what they used to do, because of the evil. And once a person's heart becomes like that, he no longer can understand and see guidance as it is. It is as if his heart is sealed. And there are many acts that cause a person's heart to be sealed. Like the Prophet ﷺ spoke about the men. He said, you shall stop giving a Jumu'ah. لَيَنْتَهِيَنَّ أَنْ وَضْعِهِمُ الْجُمُعَ أَوْ لَيَخْتِمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ ثُمَّ لَيَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْغَافِرِينَ. People will stop giving up the Salatul Jumu'ah, or Allah shall cause their hearts to be sealed, and then they will be of the negligence. Acts of disobedience, they cause the heart to be sealed. So we help in these evil consequences. The sealing of the heart. We play a very important part in these things happening to us. We play a very active part in us moving away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know. Ibn Kathir he mentions when reciting this verse, ختم الله على قلوبهم وعلى سمعهم. He says, this is where you should start. And after that, you have a new sentence beginning. وعلى أبصارهم غشاوة. Allah has sealed their hearts, or has placed a covering over their hearts and their hearing. Stop. And on their eyes, their vision is also a seal and a covering. Anyway. He says, because sealing has to do with the heart and also the hearing, but covering has to do with the sight. He says, خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. And they have a painful punishment. This particular verse here speaks about disbelief. And it doesn't, as we will find in Surah Al-Baqarah, people are basically divided into three groups. Those who believe, the disbelievers, the kuffar, who's that? Sisters in the Bible. The kuffar, and then the hypocrites. The kuffar, and then the hypocrites. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first spoke about the characteristics of those who believe. And then He spoke about those who disbelieve. And now He goes and He shall speak about the hypocrites. We need to understand, Ibn Kathir points out, he said that in Mecca there were no hypocrites. You had no munafiq in Mecca. Mecca was a place where people who came into Islam, they came in because they loved Allah and His Messenger. They were being killed and tortured because of their faith. No one was coming in to pretend to be a Muslim. People were running away, if anything. So when people embraced Islam under those circumstances, they truly came into the deen. Otherwise, the people of Mecca used to treat them so badly, so badly. Brothers and sisters. I mean, Umar beat one of his servant girls until her eyes dropped out. It was not an easy period in Mecca. Not an easy period in Mecca. Ibn Mad'un also, after he came out of the protection of one of the Quraysh, he was also beaten like that until his eyes, he could no longer see out of it. Couldn't see out of it. Beat him in his face until he lost his sight. And the people said to him, you know, if you had stayed under our protection, this would not have happened. And he looked at these kuffar and he said, you see this eye? This is the best eye that I have. And his sister eye is hoping that it will receive what its other eye received, peace be upon it. Those people in Mecca then, they had circumstances that were very difficult. Ammar ibn Yasir and his family. This young man saw his mother killed before his eyes. And they used to take him and torture him so badly, he couldn't take it. His father. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just imagine, would walk by them and see them being tortured and could not help his companion. All he could say is, Sabran ala Yasir fa inna maw'idakum al-jannah. Patience, family of Yasir, because your end is paradise. So the people in Mecca, there was no hypocrisy in Mecca. And no wonder Allah praises these brothers and sisters in that period. And He calls them the forerunners. As-sadiqun al-awwalun min al-muhajirin wal-ansar. Praises them. A tazkiyah from Allah. This is a shahada from Allah that these people, their iman is pure. If you want anyone to praise you, you could find no one who could praise you better than Allah, and it'd be worth anything. So the period of Mecca, the Mecca period, was a period of struggle. And the people went through difficulty. There was no hypocrisy there. There was no hypocrisy during the first few months of living in Medina. You had the tribes of Qaynuqar from among the Jews who were like, related to, or they had relationship, political type of relationship with Al-Aws from among the Ansar. Then you had Banu Nadir and Banu Qurayza. They had alliances with the Khazraj, the other tribes of the other part of the Ansar. There were two branches, the Aus and the Khazraj. Banu Qaynuqa, this Jewish tribe, had close ties with Al-Aus. As for Banu Nadir, a Jewish tribe, and Banu Qurayza, another Jewish tribe, they had ties with Al-Khazraj. During those first few months after the immigration to Medina, there was no hypocrisy either. The Prophet ﷺ had alliances with the Jews and those who were the people of the book. And they didn't see them really as a threat. But after the Battle of Badr, and what will make you know what the Battle of Badr is? A group of brothers, a handful of brothers, a little bit more than 300, against the Quraysh. And they went out with faith. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed them His Son. One of the brothers said, we were on the battlefield in Badr. And the enemy would come. And I would hear like a crack of the whip from nowhere. And the enemy would fall, and I would look on his body and I would see the mark on his face, dead. But no one touched him but Allah, His angels. Abdullah. Ibn Salim, Ibn Salim, Khalil, who was actually from among the Ansar, and they were getting ready to make him the leader, to make him a king. And he saw the affection that the people had for Islam. And he realized that he couldn't stand in front of this tidal wave that was going. So he did not believe in his heart, but he showed in his actions and pretended to be a believer. And those who were like him came up in Medina. For political reasons and other reasons. This was not in Mecca. You had no one coming into this deen for that reason. You came into this deen because you loved Allah and you loved His messenger and you wanted to go to paradise. You know that it might have meant losing your life or being punished, but you came into this deen with some clarity in your head. But in Medina, things started to change. And because Surah Al-Baqarah is a Madani surah, in other words, it was revealed after the immigration, which means that it is considered during the Madani period, when the Prophet had been established in Medina. This particular verse, this particular surah was revealed under those circumstances, so it addresses three types of people. The believers, the disbelievers, and the hypocrites. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about them so that people, not only them, because this is a reality that will remain with the Ummah until the end of time. There will be those who say we believe and have no belief. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. There are people who say that we believe in Allah and in the last day, and they are not believers. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They try to deceive Allah, and those who believe try to deceive Allah out of their minds. And Allah says they only deceive themselves and do not realize. Hypocrisy is to show what is good and to hide or conceal evil. And we'll deal briefly with the concept of hypocrisy, because hypocrisy is of two types. Just like kuf is of two types. Disbelief is of two types. And we pointed that out briefly in our last sitting. Shirk is of two types. Associating partners with Allah is of two types. You have nifaq and i'tiqadi, the type of hypocrisy that is spoken of in the Quran here, where you don't believe in your heart, period. You're just trying to pretend to be a believer. That person has no share in the paradise. As a matter of fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this type of person and says they're in ad-dark al-asfal min an-nar. They're in the lowest part of hell. So hypocrisy then is extremely dangerous. Hypocrisy is extremely dangerous. If it is major hypocrisy, where you don't believe, then that's trouble. If it is hypocrisy in terms of your actions, that reduces your iman. And you might land up in hell. But if you still have an element of iman in your heart, inshallah, you shall be taken out of the hellfire. And in this light, we are to understand the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَرْضَعُنْ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ كَانَ مُنَافِقًا خَالِصًا. Four things. Whoever have them, he is a pure hypocrite. Pure hypocrite. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ فِيهِ خَصْلَةٌ مِنْهُنَّ كَانَتْ فِيهِ خَصْلَةٌ مِنَ النِّفَاقِ حَتَّى يَدْعَهَا. And whoever has one of these characteristics, he has a characteristic of hypocrisy until he gives it up. This here refers to your deeds. And it doesn't refer to that major type of hypocrisy where you don't believe in your heart. You don't believe in Allah and the last day and all that stuff. This is what we call an-nifaq al-amali. The difference between the two is that a person may have hypocrisy in his deeds, and he may be described as a full hypocrite because of his actions, and still be considered a believer. Whereas if you described in terms of nifaq al-i'tiqadi, nifaq or hypocrisy in respect to your belief, what's in your heart, then you're a real hypocrite. I mean, you are on your way to hell. There ain't no possibility of going to paradise if you die like that. That's the difference between the two. Major hypocrisy and minor hypocrisy. Or how they describe it, nifaq i'tiqadi wa nifaq amali. إِذَا أَتُمِنَ خَانَ. If he's entrusted, he proves and faithful to his trust. That's one of the signs. إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبْ. If he narrates to you something, he lies. Lies. Yeah, I was sitting down there last night. I saw everything that happened. You know. And he was not in the country. He's a liar. You know. Yeah, brother, I read that book. From back to front, what's inside of it? You know, I forgot, it's been a long time. It's a liar. You know. That is a sign of hypocrisy. I know. Nifaq. وَإِذَا عَاهَدَ غَدَرْ. If he has a pledge, he breaks it. You know, you have an alliance with someone and you prove, you know, treacherous. That's another sign of hypocrisy. وَإِذَا خَاسَمَ فَجَرْ. Boy, and if he argues, he's like an evil person. Wouldn't believe would come out of his mouth. The words you won't find in Webster, and you won't find it in Oxford. He just goes out, acts evil, almost as if he's not a believer. That is a sign of hypocrisy. All of those are acts of hypocrisy. And it doesn't mean that this person doesn't believe in Allah and the last day, angels and books and messengers, and decree the good and bad of it. and that he shall be raised up no. And this is why Ibn Abbas used to say, kuf duna kuf. Disbelief, but a smaller type of disbelief. Nifaq duna nifaq. Hypocrisy, but a less or smaller type of hypocrisy. Shirk duna shirk. Shirk, but it is not like the one that take you out of the deal. And this distinction is important. Otherwise, if you read a hadith like this and you say, oh man, you know, the hypocrites are in the, they ain't got no deen, they're disbelievers, so you don't pray on a person like this because he got all these signs. I know, man, when he speaks, he's a liar. You give him something, you can't trust him, he promises, no, and boy, and when he gets angry. Okay? And so this person dies, you say, man, the logical conclusion is that you don't pray on him. And I've seen this happen just a few weeks ago, this conclusion. Because all of these signs are saying, your brother, you know, he was considered a kafir on his way to hell forever and ever and ever. Because the distinction that was made by the earlier scholars from the companions that we saw with Ibn Abbas was not made by the people in this generation. And so they call a person a kafir, pure kafir, when he didn't deserve it. He was evil. He had some signs of hypocrisy. But he was still a part of this brotherhood. He was still a part of this brotherhood. You know. So that is dangerous. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, if a person says to his brother, ya kafir, and if he is not like that, then it returns to the one who says it. So we have to be careful. This is why we have, like Ibrahim, as Taymi, he used to say in respect to himself, now this is one of the scholars, one of the ulama from the earlier generation. He used to say, ما عرضت قولي على عملي إلا خشيت أن أكون مكذبا. He said, anytime I measured my words and my deeds, I was afraid that people would say I'm a liar. Now this was one of the outstanding of the earlier generation. You know, he used to look at himself and he used to reckon. You know, I'm looking at myself, I'm saying something, am I sincere? Are my deeds the same as my words? Am I sincere? And he used to fear that maybe I'm a hypocrite. And these brothers, man, were known for their character. You read about their lifestyle, you think that they were, I mean, subhanAllah. The same thing with Ibn Abi Mulaika. He said, I met more than 30 from among the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of them feared on themselves hypocrisy, or feared that they might die in that state. So Ibn Abi Mulaika said, I met 30 of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. All of them fearing for themselves, which they have in themselves hypocrisy. He said, not one of them said that his iman was like that of Jibra'il or Mika'il. This statement of Ibn Abi Mulaika was because very early there was an idea that came into the Islamic society that was un-Islamic, was an idea of deviance. And that is, your deeds had no place in respect to faith. We dealt with that in our last season, that your deeds are a part of faith. They also had the attitude that iman was a constant thing, and that everyone who believed their iman was the same. And that your iman was just like that of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was taken up and who saw the paradise and who saw hell. And there was no difference between your iman and that of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? And that no matter what you did, as long as you believed, sin could not harm your faith. He was saying that this statement in referring it back to the companions to show what their attitude was. That they were afraid not of being sincere and having constant faith. And not one of them said that their faith was like that of Jibreel and Mikael. But rather, they said that Allah, their deeds might not have been pleasing to Allah and accepted. And so he's making this statement from the companions to show the deviance of this idea, of this attitude that was introduced in the Islamic society. I believe, it's in my heart, brother, I believe. Doesn't matter, nothing matters. It's just like Christianity. The blood was spilled for you. And no matter what you do, you're on your way to paradise. That's Christianity, that's not Islam. Hassan al-Basri this is from Ja'far ibn Sulaiman from Al-Mu'alla ibn Ziyad. He said, I heard Hassan al-Basri swearing in the masjid by Allah besides whom there is no other God worthy of worship. He said, مَا مَضَى مُؤْمِنٌ قَطْ وَلَا يَبْقَى إِلَّا وَهُوَ مِنَ النِّفَاقِ مُشْفِقٌ. He said, none of the believers that have passed, and none remained, speaking about the companions as well, because Hassan al-Basri was among the tabi'een, those who were students of the companions. He said, none of those who went before, or those who remained, except that he was fearful for himself, that his deed might not be sincere, and he might have within in him hypocrisy. These are people. These are people who really used to be mindful about Allah.